You. I apologize for the technical issues. It seems like everything's working now. So I'll begin. Here we have the highlights. So we have total sales of 358 million in 1Q23, 21.6% growth year-over-year. So TAS share achieving 41.6% of total sales in the quarter. It shows that we've been evolving in this business model, achieving 149 million TAS sold in this quarter. In the telecom segment, we achieved 201 million in sales, 48.5% year-over-year. And our contracted future revenues, so the revenue backlog, increased 43.7% year-over-year, achieving 872 million in revenue backlog. I always like to remind you that the revenue backlog or contracted future revenues performs on a monthly basis. So you close a contract for such as a 60-month contract, and that would be realized on a monthly basis. Another very important thing is that our market share for new subscribers in fiber achieved 33.3% in that period. So we've sold 300,000 ONUs in the quarter, in a total of 900,000 that Anatel, the Brazilian agency, has reported in the period. So on our next slide, we have the consolidated total sales. In the last year, we achieved a CAGR of 31.2%. That's very significant given the market conditions in 2022. So you can see the evolution of 21.6% going from 293.9 million in 1Q22 to achieve 358 million this quarter, 1Q23. Our sales are always in dollar. We consider the PTAX exchange rate for the day. When there's a variation in the exchange rate, that will reflect in our revenues in Brazilian reals. On the next slide, we have the evolution of our net revenues. Here you can see that net revenues went from 241.2 million in 1Q22 to 244.3 million in 1Q23, a small increase of 1.3%. The more the TAS we sell, the revenues are recognized for the quarter are lower, generating a higher backlog. Net revenue can be broken down in the following manner. So 50.6% for telecom, 24.2% in enterprise, and 25.3% in solar. On our next slide, you can see the TAS performance. So you can see the evolution of the new contracts for this quarter, which was 350 new contracts. So we've evolved from 279, or excuse me, 249 in 1Q22 to 350 in 1Q23. The PSV for the contracts went from 3085 to the 340 through 425. And CapEx for these new contracts in this quarter were BRL 78 million, a significant increase in the size of the CapEx that we had, 95% higher year-over-year. Here we have the markup in the number of contracts that are closed and how much is invested in CapEx. We're at 1.9 this quarter. That number mainly refers to the delivery mix that we had in that quarter of a large contract that was closed in the previous quarter. And now we've delivered the products with lower value. So the average was 2.27. So that's a significant markup in our contracts. On the bottom, you can see the evolution of the average terms of the contracts, which is stable at 55, 54 months, which is pretty much where we wanted to achieve, maybe a little more even, achieving 56, 57 months. That would be very significant for us so that we can match revenues with depreciation across time. On our next slide, we can see the evolution of the backlog, meaning our contracted future revenues. We went from in 1Q22 from 600 to 872 million, growing 43.7%. I always like to remind you that contracted future revenues means that we will have this revenue being recognized on a monthly basis. And the investment in cost was in the month where the products were delivered. And so from then on, you practically generate free cash, only discounting the PIS and COFINS tax. So you can see the schedule for future backlog on the bottom. So this year, we still have 227 million in revenues to be recognized. Next year, 253.3, and so on and so forth. That's the beauty of the process of these recurrence resulting from these contracts. On the next slide, I have the performance and telecom. Telecom accounted for 56.3% of our total sales in the period. So you can see that especially solar has decreased and telecom and enterprise increases in terms of percentage. And that's very important because we grew 48.5%, achieving 201 million BRL in this quarter year over year. An increase in the market share in telecom, as I mentioned, was 33%. Our competitiveness is fundamental with new subscribers. We have a technological renewal. We're bringing in Wi-Fi 6 that helps us to increase our share in that market. We had a drop in gross margin in that period from 5.25 to 23.7. I would say that that was because of the tough competition. Our competitors overall, all the brands and distributors, put a lot of pressure on prices. We didn't do anything crazy, but we did have to adjust our prices so that we can increase our share in sales. On the next slide, I'd like to show you the performance of enterprise. So this is corporate market sales. Enterprise accounts for 23.1% of our total sales. It grew 29.8% year over year, almost 30, achieving 83 million. And I'd like to highlight that that was mainly a result of the growth in sales of professional audio and video products. In that same period, we grew 93%, almost 100% more than last year, because last year we were very much jeopardized in this segment given the still some effects from the pandemic, such as few events and other cases where these products are used, auditoriums, training rooms, and so on. Now we've seen an increase in that type of activity. We've also been reporting quarter after quarter a significant growth in our cybersecurity products. This quarter, we grew 73% year over year. And TAS is increasing its share in this segment. So it went from 13% in 1Q22 to almost 30% in 1Q23. On the next slide, we have solar. So this case was our segment that suffered the most during this quarter. We had a significant drop in sales, as well as our gross margin. I'd like to highlight that in the beginning of the year, we had a change to the legal milestone with Law 14300. This change has caused an issue with the information. It's not that significant. It doesn't have a big impact in the return on investment. But I'd say that the market was a bit lost on how to calculate that. And that had an effect not only to our sales, but we know that the market overall has suffered with that. The other was shortage of credit. So 70%, 75% of sales in distributed energy requires a bank financing, and we can feel that the banks have tightened the credit lines for this type of activity, as well as increasing the interest rates. So the interest for the end users is approximately 1.9 to 2.8% per month, and that really affects customers' decision making in investing in this type of product, especially when it's residential. And then one thing leads to the other. So the entire segment has felt the impact on volume. And we felt that there was a huge drop in prices. So in order for the competition to sell, they destroyed value with significant reductions to clear inventory. And in this segment, we had to follow that a little, as we have the same effect. We had inventories that we expected to be used for higher volume in sales. Therefore, that didn't happen, so we had to adapt. In addition, manufacturers, most of them are from China, are also lowering their replenishment prices. So it's no use to have inventory with old prices if you know that there's going to be a lower price in your new purchases. So all of these effects had led us to a reduction of 22.8% year over year. And that highly impacted the total bottom line for the company. So this is a segment that suffered the most, and we still expect some upcoming months. I'm not sure exactly how many of this type of impact in this segment. On the next slide, we have financial results. So the adjusted EBITDA dropped. We had an impact to operating costs, especially in the mandatory salary raises according to union agreements. We also had to dispose of obsolete products that were in inventory. All of that has negatively impacted the EBIT this quarter. We're at 57.5 million. Depreciation went from 39.5 million in 1Q22 to 47.1, increased almost 20%. And that is a result of our product that's in available in property, plant, and equipment for rental. The financial results, you can see that in 1Q22, it was 30.9 million negative, went to 18.3 million in this quarter. And that improvement, which may seem significant, but actually the financial results in 1Q22 was highly affected by the FX variation effect. As you may know, when you have assets in dollars, be it because there was an advance to suppliers that still haven't delivered, or because the product is in transit and it hasn't been registered in Brazil yet, these assets in dollar are affected by the exchange rate variation. So now the financial results are more in line in this quarter with 4Q22 at approximately 18 million, which is still high. Given that the interest rates really affect this line of the balance sheet. In net income, we have adjusted, we have the losses, the impact that we had from solar, and the inventory adjustments that we had to make. So we went from 2.1 million in losses in 1Q22 to 6.4 million in this quarter. On our next slide, we have the net debt and leverage. As you can see, the gross debt went 793.5 million to 700 million this quarter. We've pretty much amortized 100 million in debt, and that's important in governance, meaning we have to decrease the impact of interest in our results, and we still have a net debt that's very much in according to these standards. We have 566 million in first quarter and net debt over EBITDA with a factor of 2.27. Here on the side, I have debt amortization and the coverage of future contracted future revenues, and that's very important because we have a total debt of 700 million and total future contracted revenues that's much higher, 872 million. Once again, I'd like to remind you that the contracted future revenues, the only adjustment that has to be made is the PIS and COFINS tax. So out of the 872, I only have to take away 9.25. The rest is pretty much free cash. Because all of the investment and the cost, delivery, freight, commissions, and product cost has already been done. So moving forward from that, I only have cash generation, discounting PIS and COFINS tax. So from April to December this year, I have to amortize 119 million in debt. And I have a cash generation for the future revenues of 227 million. So we always have some room in amortizing the debt, making our financial health significant in this period. On the next slide, we have cash variation. Cash flow here. So we started the quarter at 305 million. Our activity generated 91 million in cash. Operating activity. We used 59 million as working capital, especially for inventories, products for sale. We have 78 million in capex for the new rental contracts, and we've amortized interest, the principal of debt of for in the amount of 123 million in this period. Therefore, our gross debt has decreased and spent 1 million in our share buyback program. So we ended the quarter at 134 million in cash flow. So this is the bridge that basically shows the evolution of our cash flow, 134 million. According to our valuation and governance is more than enough for us to operate smoothly in upcoming periods. And to conclude, I always like to give the perspectives that we're looking at, the outlook. I know that I'd love to be here talking about super growth, but the market and the macroeconomic scenario isn't the best right now. But even so, here in enterprise, we see the headwinds. So it's corporate market, it's gaining speed. We're gaining room in this segment. So in audio, in video, and wild Wi-Fi, that's improving. So it's very important for growth. And telecom is still a challenge, even though we've seen significant growth compared to last year. We're not saying that this is just going to be easy. It continues to be challenging. But even with the process of consolidating the ISPs, we can see that our competitiveness has been important. You can see that our market share is 33% in new subscribers. And I always like to say that this year is a very important year in technological renewal. Those who have been with us since the IPO, I'd said that we would be growing in this segment and then at some point achieve stabilization. You wouldn't be growing indefinitely. But after a while, we would have these products being renewed in subscribers' homes. And that's happening now with Wi-Fi 6. And that's something we've been focusing strongly on. We've been betting a lot on this technology. So today, we even received good news that the Wi-Fi 6 product importation tax is now zero. So that will make it even better for the existing subscribers. In solar, this quarter was a heavy quarter. We believe that this year there will be an overall adjustment in this segment. All the competitors may not remain firm in this segment, but we are adjusting our inventory levels. So we're creating a distribution channel, an authorized network, so that we can create more loyalty in this channel. We have an open solar process for sales. So we're investing to create that network and become even more consolidated in the relationship with this channel. We don't have to have all the solar channels, but we want to have the main ones, the ones that are more committed and have quality. Intense is advancing. As we imagined, competitiveness in TAS is still strong, as you've seen in the results. And that leads to recurring revenues, gives us huge predictability in operations. So we're strongly lowering our costs and adjusting expenses and adjusting the use of capital. we still need strong management of our working capital. That's what we're privileging on the operating side. So with this scenario, we have important perspectives for 2023. Now we have a Q&A session. If you can help so that we can continue. First question that I see is, I can read it for you. Go ahead. So during the IPO, the CAGR was around 40%. After the IPO, the percentage has dropped with the other company figures. Is that a concern? Well, as you've seen, if we look up to 2022, the CAGR was approximately 31%. I can't say that's a bad CAGR. What we imagined that was exactly it during the IPO, that there wouldn't be no, it wouldn't have indefinite growth, meaning forever. You adjust the growth levels. The telecom level was expected and may had what we didn't really expect in this first quarter is this drop in solar. But without a doubt, it's still a very strong segment. It will still have a lot of strength in Brazil. So I can't say that that growth level is a concern, but obviously we're working relentlessly on this to increase and improve our performance year after year. Lucas Monteiro asked the first question, and he has some other questions here. The other is, when do you expect that the revenue backlog will translate into revenue growth? Because even though there's a strong growth in backlog, revenues are now stable. And if we compare 1Q23 with 4Q22, it dropped 12%, a reasonable drop. The other question is that in 2022, the figures are worse, and now 2023, the result shows that that's getting stronger. What does the company have to do to improve that situation? Well, Lucas, as I explained, every time we close more rental contracts, we transform future revenues 1 over 60 into revenues on a monthly basis. So we're not going to recognize all of the revenues at once. We would like to, but that's not how you do in accounting. So it's growing on a monthly basis. And the other effect is since we've been extending the other deadlines through the quarters and months, that makes that amount that you're the bricks that you're building on a monthly basis small. So all the former contracts will end with the lower terms, and then you'll see that net revenue growing and matching better with the backlog growth. The other thing about the figures that have been decreasing in general, what are we doing? We're doing a lot to work around that. So we've been able to improve our performance significantly in two segments, in telecom and enterprise. So if you imagine that last year we grew 40% in sales and telecom, 30% in sales and enterprise. If we had maintained solar, we would have had a better result. The impact that we had this quarter was the situation that we saw in the solar market. If we hadn't grown but have maintained the levels, we would be much more robust in that quarter. So now we're working to improve our performance in the three segments. We're reducing the costs, significant costs, to improve our bottom line. And that's it. That's what happened. There was an impact that nobody expected. Yesterday, there was a meeting that we attended with the main executives from ANEEL, the Brazilian agency, and the market was asking them about new regulation. They're fantastic numbers. Today, we have 10 gigawatts of installed capacity for solar and over 30 gigawatts that have already provided the granted access. Now they have to go into the investment phase. So when you talk to these customers, the thing is that the investment has stopped given the lack of financing. After that's unlocked, when that improves, you'll have that bottleneck being undone. So this quarter, we really felt that. So we have a question from Guilherme from Alaska. Considering the cash that has been required for CapEx and TOS, in addition to the leverage that's closer to the covenant, does it make sense a higher selectivity and the new project and return on TOS and consequently lower rhythm in growing the backlog to prioritize recognizing revenues? Thank you, Guilherme, for your question. Well, the selectivity of the projects, we're always looking. Our target for these contracts is 25%. So we've been filtering that to have more significant projects as a return. I don't know if you're saying that we should sell more to recognize the revenue first instead of and doing less tasks. Well, for the company project in building that model, we believe TAS is very competitive. And the sales, if you imagine what happens in the segment, if you're going to sell, all clients want financing. So, good or bad in terms of cash, you're going to have to pay for that terms of sale for the client. And that discussion for the company, TAS is more important. If you imagine that today, 88% of our sales are financed via TAS. So our client overall, be it a telecom or enterprise, they depend on third parties, but the other two are distributors, suppliers, the competitors that are actually financing the sale in that segment. And there's another question here. What could be the impacts of the tax reform on TAS from Carlos Sampaio? Well, the tax reform for us, we have to be very connected. And what I'd like to say, first of all, is that the tax reform so far, Everything that we've seen so far, nobody talked about the change in taxation for the contracts. The Supreme Court has already ruled on this a couple of years ago. I don't remember when that was, that rentals don't even pay city tax. ISS doesn't pay ICMS tax, which is sales tax, or IPI, which is industrialization tax. The only tax on rental is the PIS and the COFINS tax. So far, we haven't seen anything that was specifically addressed in changing that tax, taxes on rentals. So I don't believe that there will be an impact to TAS. And imagine that if the reform increases the tax or IVA tax, the added tax actually, and have that, wouldn't have that impact on the rentals, that would be very positive. I think that's what's important to mention. Any other questions? One from Mateus. TAS markup is lower than the other quarters given the product mix that are included in the supplier contract with large ISPs, but the average for the segment is 2.27. Should we see something similar to what we saw in this quarter compared to the others? Oh, that's a great question, Mateus. Yes, without a doubt. Our expectations are that the levels will remain like that or even greater. So that drop to 1.9 was because of the mix. And recently, with the markup of the contracts. We have no. Thank you all for your time and your attention. I'd like to thank Andre, who is leaving us, as we've already informed the market. He's going on to another company. He was with us for 4.5 years. Thank you very much, Andre. He was key here in building our IPO. He was key in setting up the governance and making our financial processes stronger. So we wish you all the best and stay in touch. So from now on, I will take on the position of remain as CEO and interim CFO. We're recruiting a new professional that's ongoing. So I hope that done soon. Thank you again, everyone. And we're always at your disposal. Simone here is our IR manager. Whenever you need, if you have any questions, we're always available to talk to you about the details, about what we're doing, our strategy, and receiving any ideas from you. Our shareholders are always very much welcome, and we always like to provide information about what we're doing. Thank you all. Andre, we wish you the best. Thank you, Simone. Good afternoon to everyone.